Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on another Sunday. We've had another beautiful week, a little crispness in the air. I tell you what, it was just a slight frost, not like what we had on Friday, and a little bit of drizzle and rain over the weekend, so it has been just a great week. I'm sure the farmers and just people who were working outside were just pleasantly surprised by the great weather and able to get a lot done. And we just want to praise God for all of that and how He continues to take care of us in all things. God is good, isn't He, this morning? But we're going to continue our teaching series. Before we go in there this morning, just a couple of things I just want to touch base on. First, we got Vital Men devotionals that go out Monday through Saturday. We have five different writers. You can go to vitalministries.org. Check that out. I just encourage you. It just gives you that extra nugget in the week. And these writers are just doing an exceptional job. Matter of fact, last Friday, one of the writers talked a little bit about the Constitution and a little bit about the irony of where we are as a nation. And I thought he handled it extremely well in his devotional. And I encourage you to look on that. Again, you can go to vitalministries.org and check that out. My wife, she writes for Vital Life. It was a combination of both men and women. It's just that short nugget that gives you that word of encouragement again. So we have it specifically for the men in one area, and then we have the combination of both with Vital Life in another area of devotional. So just encourage you to go and check that out. But I really want to push this, especially in our area in South Central Iowa. We have three locations where Vital Men are meeting. One, and they're all on Tuesday evening. One is in Ottumwa, Iowa at The Vine. You can go and check that out on our website. Great opportunity for men to get plugged in the Ottumwa area. Also, too, we got another location in Knoxville. They are meeting over at The Well in that location. Great opportunity for the men in Knoxville or surrounding communities. And I'm also teaching here in Oskaloosa on Tuesday evenings from 6:38. We just have a great bunch of guys. We meet currently at my shop due to the fact that just paying attention to the social distancing of COVID. And I want to make sure everybody feels safe. And also, too, they can keep the distance as they so desire. So just a great opportunity for men to get plugged in. And again, I encourage us as men, what greater time than this for us to be paying attention to those things, and also to be leaders not only in our places of where God has called, but also to especially in our homes today. Just encourage men today. Men are called. You need to lead. Be leading your families. So just a good thing. But we're continuing our teaching series is When Good Men Get Angry. And today our subject topic is respect. And I tell you what, it couldn't be more fitting. I don't know about you, but a lot of us sat held close in front of our television sets on Tuesday evening as we watched two men square off as potential leaders, of course, President Trump and Joe Biden, and they were going back and forth in the debate. And we saw what actually unraveled, in my opinion, and I think a lot of us as Americans saw the same thing, of the lack of respect on both men. And we're not going to hit that hard today, but I tell you what, it was very much what I would say as we watched that debate is very much the place where I think, sadly to say, is where our nation is at, a place of agreeing, disrespecting, just unwillingness to see another person's point of view. And I think what greater time than this than we need this. And, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say that these men failed in what was, but I would say this, that I think, in my opinion, it didn't show great light as Americans, as a nation. And I think we just all the more need to be praying for those leaders that lead our nation, and also, too, that God grants them wisdom and discernment, as we're all liable in the midst of things that are going on, as things that go on. But just encourage you, pray for our leaders. We have until November 4th. I'm going to encourage you. I'm not trying to make this political, but I am saying this. As an American citizen, what greater way do you have, because we live in the nation that we live in a capitalistic state, to go and choose our freedoms of voting? And what greater way as a Christian nation within a nation to go out and vote and pray about that vote and pray that God shows you discernment and the direction of your vote. I'm not telling you which way to vote, but I'm asking you to go and ask Holy Spirit, which way should I vote for the leadership as we go on as a nation? But let's jump into the teaching series this morning about respect and why could men get angry? I tell you what, as I was watching that, there were moments of time, to be honest, at times I had to simply turn it off because it was making me angry and the lack of respect. But it says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the king. Man, I tell you what, there is a lot that is encompassed in all of those, in that short amount of verse. And this verse, it covers four major areas in our lives that teaches us about respect. Respect all men, respect all Christians, respect God, and respect government authority. See, respect in translation from the Greek word times means this: honor or value. Isn't that true as we look at respect? Honoring or valuing the other person in times of showing respect. So, as we look at this, here's a question I want you to kind of wrestle with as we're doing this teaching this morning. How do we follow these values when we feel disrespected in them? And in it creates anger within our lives. And again, I would say most of us that watched on Tuesday evening, I would say struggled not only with disappointment, but also too with anger. And just watching that, I don't know about you, I got more of the force frustrated I got. I saw my anger starting to build and the lack of disrespect that was going on. And I came to a point I simply had to turn it off. And that was the way for me to handle it. I'm not saying that was the right way, but that was the way, that only way that I can handle. But let's get into God's word. See what the Lord has to say as a biblical perspective, not from a man's perspective, but a biblical perspective of the importance of respect. It says to respect everyone. As Christian men, we must be, and women, we must be diligent in respecting all people, whether they believe as we do or they don't. We should show proper respect and honor. That's with respecting all men. So let's go. If you got your Bibles this morning, maybe you're traveling down the highway today. Again, thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Be safe as you travel today and go whatever distance or wherever you're headed. Also, many of you again say, hey, Mike, I listened to you on the way to church. Thank you. And we've had a few Sundays where some of the things have got messed up and they put us at 8 o'clock versus 8:30. I appreciate you calling me and letting me know, because not always do I listen to myself. I'm highly critical, so it's hard for me to listen. And I just want to be honest with you on that. And then also, too, those of you that are home and saying, Mike, this is our time of a church, I want to say thank you so much. If you're home today, I want you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 30 through 37. Now, this is an interesting portion. It's about the Good Samaritan. We've heard this story multiple times, and obviously in this portion of Scripture, Jesus, these are red-letter words. These are learned words that Jesus wanted to emphasize and share a parable of a story. And he opens up the story with sharing about a Jewish man who's traveling on his way to Jericho, from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And I find this interesting as he's traveling, as he's going down. This is a downhill descent. And he was attacked by bad men, bandits, they called him. They said they literally stripped him of his clothes, beat him up. Anyways, they said they left him for being half dead. This man was pulverized by robbers, men who came and took away what little bit that he had. And it says on his journey, as it was going, and he was laying alongside the road, bloodied and beaten and half dead. It says that by chance a priest walks by. Now, we've got to kind of grapple with that just a minute. A priest comes alongside, he looks down at him and passes him by. Why? Because in Jewish culture, that is considered to be unclean because he's bloodied. And also, too, he just was coming from synagogue or going to synagogue. And there's always a period of time during that they can't touch anything that's considered unclean. Otherwise, they have to go back and redo the process. I'm not saying what was right. He should have came to the moment and stepped into it, but he didn't. Jesus uses his parable. Then again, he meets up with another, now it's a temple assistant. He's kind of a second down type of individual. He goes, sees the same thing, does the same response as the Jewish priest. But there's another man who comes along. He would be considered a half-blood, a half-Samaritan. That means that he was half-Gentile and half-Jewish. He comes alongside and he feels compassion knowing that the man bloodied alongside the road was Jewish. But here's the interesting thing. He has respect for the man. He has compassion. And I think sometimes respect and compassion, do they go hand in hand? I don't see how they can't. Because in my mind, as we look and we see other people in need, some people that are broken, we see that this Jewish man was broken, yet the Samaritan comes alongside and he has compassion. First thing he does, I love this part. He says, going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged the man up. Man, that's a big deal, isn't it? He goes into the very place of where the man is bloody. He gets into the middle of what is going on with him. And then he takes the next step. He dresses his wounds, gets him back and bound back up so he stops the bleeding, puts him on his own donkey, and then takes care of him and takes him to the inn. It says when he gets to the inn, he tells the innkeeper, he says, "Hey, I've got some coins here. I want you to take care of this man. Help him to get back on his feet." And he also goes a step further. "If the money that I have given you is not enough, next time I'm back in town, I will give you what you need." Now, this is an interesting story because in my mind, as you sit there and we look at respect for our fellow man, obviously the priest failed. He did not show respect. He was more caught up in his religious affairs. Religion was on his mind. And because of that, he was blinded to going into the need. Now, here's something interesting that I've shared with you many times, that I've just started this process of becoming a deputy sheriff. And becoming a deputy sheriff, you go and you have papers. You serve papers for people who haven't paid bills. And also, too, you go and serve papers for people who have been caught up and have done wrong, have done evil. They've went to prison, so they come back out of prison, and now they have to have somebody come in. They have a monthly meeting, a time where they got to get served papers, ask questions, and then taken away. Now, here's the interesting thing that I noticed in the midst of that process, as I've been there. What I had to learn, as I'm learning, is you step into the sinfulness and the darkness of man. I have a moment there. Do I show compassion or respect in the moment? Because I've been given a place of authority. Even though I'm walking in and walking alongside another deputy, I have what I love about with these men that I walk with, they show respect. Irregardless of what the crime was committed, there's still respect shown. And what happens is, what I'm seeing, folks, is I'm stepping into the brokenness of my community. I can either have hardness of heart, I can have religious accusations and say these people are unclean, or do I step into their brokenness and have compassion for them? So that's a choice. That is choosing respect. Even though that somebody has done some of the most toughest things that can happen, do you show respect? Because what we just read out of the Bible is in 1 Peter 2:17, it says respect everyone. And folks, I don't think there's a thin line between that. Whether they're Christian or non-Christian, I think we deserve to give respect. And I think that's essential for us in this day. But let's go on. It says, the next one is love the brotherhood. Love other believers. See, isn't that, to me, I think that's the easiest portion of this whole part. Because it's easy for us to love somebody that we can come alongside with. We're like-minded. It says, we are called to love all Christian brothers, regardless of color, nationality, opinions, and afflictions. Wow, I don't know about you, but it's easy. Okay, I look at this different things. Okay, color. You know, I love the song where the song says, "We need each other and we all bleed red." What a true statement. Isn't that so true? Loving other brothers and sisters in nationality. I've been on several mission trips and met other brothers and sisters, not only of different color, but nationality. That is also easy. Now here's the tough one, especially where we are today. Opinions. Can I love other brothers and sisters irregardless of whether or not I agree with their opinions, and especially as a hot spot today politically? I don't know about you, but this rubber hits the road here. But let's go in. Let's see what John has to say in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. And let's see what God says. These, again, red letter words. It says, now. So now on, I'm giving you a new command. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Got to sit in that one a minute, don't you? When I sit in that, I sit there and I think, am I winning or am I failing? Folks, I think it's on both sides of the fence, to be honest with you, because there's times that I've had such hot topics of because I have been disagreeing with other people who don't agree on my view, especially politically at this moment. And I sit there, folks, the world is watching us. You know, last week we had on the return, I don't know if you got a chance to watch that, and the guy that wrote the book, The Harbinger, Mr. Kane, and I'll bet you, but it was outstanding. It was excellent. And on the Washington, D.C., on the mall, watching Christians come and kneel. See, folks, the world is watching us. Watching us in our reactions. If we're going to have revival, it's going to take a place where we have to get past our political views, not saying that we're in agreement, but can we agree to disagree even though we don't see things eye to eye? And asking and confessing, I tell you what, when I watched him, there's moments, folks, I wept. I wept because I saw the Lord, the Holy Spirit was revealing the sin of the disrespect I was having for other Christian people, because they didn't agree with how I thought and my view. And folks, if we're really going to have that, if we're really going to see, I believe if revival comes, revival has to start with us individually. When it starts with us individually, truly revival will come. If you want revival, folks, and I hear people, the prophetic and all the stuff that's being said, if you truly want it, it starts with you. It starts with me. I have to ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins, forgive me of my judgmental attitudes, especially now of disrespecting other brothers, sisters in the Lord because they don't agree with how I agree politically. Man, sit on that for a minute, but let's keep going. The next one, it says this, is fear and to respect the Lord. Now, here's some really good stuff. I like this. This is some things, but we're going to look at Leviticus 18:4. We're going to hit this Old Testament portion of Scripture, and this is a good thing. It says this, chapter 18:4 says this, you must obey and must not imitate their way of life. Okay, you must obey all my regulations and be careful to obey my decrees, for I am the Lord your God. Period. See, God is wanting us respect, and out of respect means that we obey His word. Not only, Mike, you might be saying, well, that's the Old Testament. Yes. But Jesus came and He condensed all the law into two. He says, honor the Lord, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the next thing is love your brother and sister. See, He takes all the law and condenses it down into two, which contains all of the law within itself. If you want to fear and respect the Lord, folks, it calls us to obeying the Word. First of all, I want to ask you, how much are you in the Word? Back to revival. You want to have revival? How much are you in the Word of God? You can't go on Sunday and expect your pastor to get up in front of you and doing anything. You cracked your Bible, or the Bible that has been cracked is done on Sunday. It comes back to having a time with the Lord where you're having time of devotion. That means getting into God's Word, asking the Holy Spirit, now how does it apply to my life? And then start praying. Man, I don't know about you, but I've been doing Acts. I've been in my prayer time. I've been, number one, Acts is A, adoration. I tell you what, I start glorifying God for who He is. He is the great I am, and I start thanking Jesus Christ for coming and dying on the cross for my sins. Then the next thing I do is I start confessing. Lord, I have messed up daily. I start confessing and telling Him the things that I've had sin in my life. I sin daily. Don't you folks? I don't know about you, but those who go around and say they don't, I'm sorry. If anybody watches this any too close, we fall short. The next thing I do Thanksgiving. I start thanking the Lord for what He's done, for the abundance that He has given. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 and the things that are going on in the midst of our nation and the chaos, there is thankfulness. We live especially in Iowa. You only have to look out the window and see the harvest that's out there that's been done in all the summer. Thanking the Lord. And the next thing, supplication. I start asking, Lord, I start praying, not for my needs, but I start asking for supplication. One of the things I've been especially praying for, my son is doing a restart. Actually, this Sunday, he starts back up in Plantation, Florida. I spoke with him this week, and he said, Dad, one of the things that we're falling short on because of what's going on in COVID-19 is we are falling short of finances, Dad. We got this great thing going, but we need money in order to stay to exist. So I start praying. I ask for my son, Lord, provide. Help in the midst of His church plant to provide. We all have those in people in our lives, don't we? Start praying for family members and different things. But let's keep going on. The next one is this. It says, honor and respect government authorities. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 13. And this is a good portion of scripture, I think, that is really good, that really takes on what it means to be honoring in government authorities. It says this. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. Boom. Right there in our face, isn't it? Everyone. It says, for all authority comes from God. That means good and bad, doesn't it? All you have to do is go in the Old Testament and read about 1 and 2 Kings. We see good kings and we see God bad kings. And it says this, go keep on reading. It says, for all authority comes from God, has been positioned. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. I tell you what, if you're marching, you better be marching for the right things. And also doing it, carrying it on the right manner. In my community a few nights ago, we actually had some young men who went out throughout the community and wrote graffiti on cars, on houses, and even on a Christian school. And I tell you what, folks, because of everything, you don't think that you can't be seen? They were caught because of somebody with a phone or because of a video. Those young men are now in custody and have to give reason for what they've done. Let's go on. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live like those who are doing wrong? Would you like to live those without fear of authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. See that? They have the power. A lot of people say, when I go and break the law, when you break the law, you break man's law. And because you break man's law, you have justification of reason why you have to go in and pay the bill. Because you broke the man's law. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Here's another one. Pay your taxes. For the same reason, for the government workers need to be paid as well. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor those in authority. Man, we just pounded that verse, didn't we? We see all the things of what God's word says about what it means to have respect. Folks, I don't know about you, what greater time do we ever need respect than we need today? So I encourage you, as we watch the next debates, as we watch not only President Trump and Joe Biden, and we also look at Vice President Pence and also to Biden's associate Harris, can we sit in the midst of the debate and have a mindset of simply respect? Irregardless whether we agree or disagree, I don't know about you, I'm touched by that one, and I got to be honoring in it, and that's what I want to do, and I'll have an opportunity to cast my vote like all the rest of you. And all of us aren't going to get our way. But as we just read, God calls us to respect. I love the last part of Cain. He says, America will travel one of two roads. One road that will lead to what he believes is what biblical view as far as getting back right, getting our nation back in the direction of what God is calling it. Or we will travel another road that will be chaos, there will be rioting, and we'll see greater things that we've not seen yet. We all have a choice. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day, for the opportunity that we can come and understand what truly respect comes, not by man's point of view of respect, but the respect that you wrote down in your laws, in the Bible. Laws for us to live by, rules for us to see that is the betterment for us to not only have community with each other, but is also giving honor and respect back to you. And Lord, we thank you today for allowing us. I pray, Holy Spirit, as you come and speak to us today, maybe there's something that we read today or we spoke about today that really hits a heartbeat. Maybe there's a place that we need to confess sin because of our disrespect of people that we don't agree with, not only in the political arena, but simply our brothers and sisters in the Lord and also other men. Maybe our attitudes of respect have fallen short. Lord, I thank you that you are a loving God. You are a caring God. And most of all, Lord, you're returning. I pray, Lord, that as we wait for the return, that we make ourselves ready, like the 10 bridesmaids, 5 were made ready and 5 were not. Help us to live a life of the 5. Have our oil ready. Have our place in our hearts ready to receive the return of you, Lord. In your precious, holy name. Amen. Folks, again, just some great stuff as we study this and we look at what it means to dealing with anger within our own hearts. I hope today, folks, that the words that were spoken were words that are challenging to our hearts. And again, I ask for an umbrella of mercy. If I've done something or misquoted something, that is not my intent. My hope is, always to give glory back to God. That's who he is. Because I love this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What great respect that our Lord the Father gave us by sending his son. I want to thank you for listening today. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.